What is your view of sex? I mean, when you peel back the media hype and the outrageous images and the lifestyles of people in the news and in the movies, what is sex all about? And why are we so obsessed, yet so ignorant about human sexuality? Today, I'll cover five of the most common myths that people have about sex. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. And Chip, today's message actually comes with a warning. What's this all about?
Well, Dave, we're going to be talking about human sexuality. And due to the nature of the content, if you have smaller children nearby, you might want to listen to this at a different time. I'm going to cover some very important and sensitive information in this message. It's very frank. It's very straightforward. So you may want to screen it first and decide personally when and how might you want to share this information with your kids. But here's what I can tell you. Your kids are hearing this information everywhere all the time, and they need to hear God's word and God's truth from you in the right environment, and I want to equip you to do that.
Thanks, Chip. Again, the message is available online at livingontheedge.org. Another option is to download the Chip Ingram app. It's free, and you can hear Living on the Edge when it's convenient for you. Now, in our last broadcast, Chip covered the first two myths about human sexuality. Myth number one, God is anti-sex, and myth number two, Christian sex lives are dull, and their views on sex are completely out of touch. Well, today Chip begins his teaching with myth number three.
The third myth that most of us have heard is as long as people love each other, sex is okay with God. I actually did college ministry for a number of years, and I'd have college students say, I don't think anywhere in the Bible it really says that sex outside of marriage is wrong. I don't think it really says that anywhere. You've probably heard that. And if we really love each other, I mean, you know, why does God care? I mean, what's a sheet of paper, a marriage? Why can't we just be committed to one another? Newsflash. You're not committed unless you're married. You can say you're committed, but anybody can walk out anytime in that relationship. And if you're really committed, then get married. Get married. But listen carefully. This is what the Bible says in terms of the truth. The truth is the Bible actually prohibits all sexual relationship outside of marriage. Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. That's when people have sex that are married with someone else other than their mate. Flee from sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6:18. We should not commit sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 10:8. But among you, there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality, Ephesians 5:3. And it is God's will for you that you should avoid sexual immorality. Six direct commands, 23 other inferences in the New Testament. Now, the root word for immorality, that's a very broad word. Are you ready? The Greek word is porneia. Can you imagine any words that we get from that? Porneia. Okay, what porneia means, it's a broad word. It means that adultery, fornication, homosexuality, when it says a hint, it means fantasizing, thinking, lusting in your mind, porneia, immorality. It means petting heavily to bring arousal to a person of the opposite sex that can't be fulfilled righteously in marriage. It says all of that is prohibited, and it's wrong, and it's a sin. Now, just before you go, oh, wow, see, I knew the Bible was strong. You are right. Do you ever wonder why? You know why? Because God doesn't want you to just lie with people. He doesn't want you just to go into or receive someone. He wants you to know and be known. The great majority of unbelievers and believers are experiencing desperately second-rate sex. God already knew when these commands came down that he knew about AIDS and gonorrhea and herpes. He knew about emotionally scars. He knows about flashbacks when you're having sex with someone you've had with four other people. He knows about the emotional scars. He knows about sexual insensitivity. He knows about all the pain that it brings. He knows that when you're loose before marriage, the probability of an extramarital affair really goes up. These are the boundaries of the fireplace, so God would say, I want you to get the best. I want to protect you. I want to provide for you. I want to give you the highest and the best because sex matters to me. It's not just an action. It matters. It's important. It's about who you are. You're a sexual being. In fact, it leads to the next myth. The next myth is simply this. Only a cosmic killjoy totally out of touch with today's culture and people's needs would prohibit all sex outside of marriage. Have you ever thought that or had someone say that to you? Now, I mean, this was my testimony. I didn't come to Christ until I was 18. I'd never read the Bible. I grew up in a moral home, but not a Christian home. And the church that I got to experience was far from God. So I rejected church, rejected God. I come to Christ after my senior year, and I go away to a college where there's four girls for every guy. You can be ugly and get great dates. And it's the early to mid 70s, so everyone's sleeping with everyone. I mean, it's like free love, make love, not war. And as I start growing and read my Bible, I come across all these crazy commandments. No, 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 no. I'm thinking there's this great fence and all the good stuff's on that side of the fence, and God says no. And I'm just thinking, he is the biggest cosmic killjoy in the world. I remember telling God, you know, like even like in school, like a 70 out of 100 is a C, 80 out of 100 is a B, 90 is a, you know, like an A. I think I could do like 8 out of 10 commands. I could be an 80 percenter. I'd even be willing to be a 90 percenter, I think. But how in the world can you tell me with all these girls and everyone make... Here's the truth. God prohibits all immoral behavior outside of marriage because of his desire to protect you. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life." Wages, what's a wage? A wage is if I do something, if I work so long, that's what I get for it. The wages of doing something wrong sexually is death. And in Scripture, death isn't just physical death. Death is separation. When our first parents sinned, they didn't fall over dead. They were separated from God. See, God's heart, here's what I had to learn. It's not a fence. It's not I'm over here and all the good stuff's over there and God is on the fence. The light came on to me when the Spirit of God showed me through his word. And then when I watched how it was working out for other people, that instead of a fence, it was God over here with his arm around me saying, "Chip, that's not a fence with all the good stuff there. The good stuff's there. That's a guardrail. I just want to keep you inside the guardrail so you get first-rate sex. So it's not about lying or going into, it's about knowing. I want you to have sex without guilt. I want you to have sex without shame. I don't want you sex with flashbacks. I don't want sex with scars. I want you to get the highest, best. I want you to have the kind of sex where you know I'm looking down on the marriage bed and I'm rejoicing with you. That's biblical. But here's a guardrail. It's to protect you. But it's also to provide for you. God knows your needs. He created you with the hormones that you have. He knows the longings of your heart. He understands the loneliness that you have. In Jeremiah 29:11, when it seemed impossible for Israel, they had worshiped idols, they were far from God, and you know, they just felt like there's no hope. God sent Jeremiah to say, look, it may be difficult right now. You may be single and without dates. You might be hooked on pornography. You might be in the midst of an affair today and you feel like I could never break it off. You might have all kind of issues. God would say, look, you come to me. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. God wants to provide spiritual reward and intimacy with him. Sexual immorality, whether it's visual, mental, or physical, puts a barrier between you and God. It puts a barrier between you and yourself, and it puts a barrier between you and other people. He says, I want to give you spiritual reward. I want to give you emotional peace. I want to protect you from sexually transmitted diseases. I want to reward your life with the very best. I want to give you sexual fulfillment. See, there's a heavenly Father who understands the media in the last 40 or 50 years. and the silence of the church. And when you meet other Christians and they're living together and, you know, he logs on or she logs on. And you know what? What happens is, what do? We start looking at other people and we start adopting the practices. I think God would just say, Dr. Phil, could you come here for a second?
Sure, Lord.
Could you just tell my entire church, would you ask them the big question that you ask people on your TV show?
Yes, Lord, I'll do it.
How's this working for you? How did the affair work out in terms of financially? How did it work out for your kids? What's it feel like to log on and feel like you can't wait to, you know, you're at work and you're just looking for a time and you're hiding? What's it feel like to read romance novels and feel like you're sexually unfulfilled in your marriage and have dreams and fantasies about people that don't exist? But what's it feel like to always feel like you got sexual thoughts all the time and you don't like yourself and there's a shame and there's a guilt? Or what's it like to have which happens in many Christian marriages, when you come with a lot of baggage? All of a sudden it was exciting because it was illegal. It was exciting because you had to hide, and now it's boring. I think God would say, how's that working for you? Don't you want better? Don't you want the best? See, so often when churches talk about sex, so much of it is shame on you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. I'll tell you what, you need to start doing some really good things the really right way. For many of you, today is the first day of a new beginning of your new sexual identity before a good and loving Father, where it can be clean and holy and wholesome and fulfilling. And you're going to have to break some things. And yes, it's going to be hard. And yes, you'll need help. And it will take courage and a lot of faith. And you'll be swimming upstream, even in the church. But I will tell you, you will experience the rich quality of life that the Jesus who died for you on the cross and was risen from the dead died to pay for. You're not and never will be loved by anyone more than Jesus. And he's not embarrassed by sex. He knows where you've been. He wants to forgive, cleanse, strengthen, and help his church be a model of passionate sexuality in the right place, in the right time, with the right person. Number five is, everyone needs to sow their wild oats and experiment sexually before they settle down in a long-term relationship. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I've kind of got this from people. So far, Chip, I get it. You know, kind of understand. And I'm going to do that. Like, everything you've said so far, believe me, I am really going to do that in about 3 years. I'll make it four. Because, I mean, you know, God's forgiving, right? So he'll forgive me all this stuff. So I'm going to go out and then I'll sort of come back around someday, some way. Here's the truth. Sexual sins have uniquely devastating impact on people's lives. Listen to that. Sexual sins, unlike any other sin, has uniquely devastating impact on people's lives because it's a sin against yourself. Paul would write to this sexually confused church, the Corinthians, yet again. And almost in astonishment, he says, do you not know that the man who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it's said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Did you see how sexuality and spirituality, they always are so close? Then the application. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Listen carefully. This is the part where, I mean, the stakes get so much higher and so much more important. I'm reading a little book called The Epic of Eden right now. It's an overview of all the Old Testament and how God has worked. And the professor talks about how really in Eden, the whole goal of God, he just wanted to be with his people. He wanted to be with them in a perfect environment and talk and share and be close to them and bless them. And then sin entered in, and then you have the story, and then over time you have Moses and the Ten Commandments, and then what's God say? He has him built this tabernacle, and the Shekinah glory does what? You know, there's this outer court, there's a holy court, then there's a holy of holies, and it can move whenever his but he wants to dwell with them. God wants to be with his people. He wants to enjoy their fellowship. He wants to bless them. And then later, David raises some money and Solomon builds this temple. And the temple is built like the tabernacle. And there's the outer court. And then there's this holy place and this holy of holies. And God in his Shekinah glory fills this place and he wants to be with his people. And today, he lives in a temple made without hands. If you are a follower of Jesus, his temple is your physical body. The holy, pure, awesome, all-knowing, powerful creator of the universe in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells inside of every child of God. And so when you decide to have sex, it's like going into the most beautiful church you've ever seen with stained glass and taking a hammer and just breaking it all up. It's like taking a bright red Ferrari and driving on the road and deciding, I'm going to go off-road with it like a Jeep. Boom, 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 and just messing it up. That's what happens when you have sex. That's what happens when you fantasize. That's what happens when you log on to porn. He wants to dwell with you. And he's holy. And what you do is you cut yourself off from him. There's a reason why some of you in this room, your prayers don't get answered. There's a reason why that certain things that you're asking God to do, he doesn't do. There's a reason why you open, you read the Bible, and you just think it's dead. It doesn't pop out. There's not promises. You know why? Sexual sin causes God to close his ears. And he does it out of mercy. He does it with the velvet vice that you would realize, this is unacceptable. What scares me today is that sexual immorality in all of its forms, and whether it's living together, 25 or 30% of Christians, or whether it's logging on, or whether it's an affair, or whether it's soft porn, it's become so acceptable in the church today, we don't know what we're missing. There's a reason why the church is impotent. We are spiritually impotent in a decadent culture because we're not like the culture, we're worse than the culture. And you are the beautiful bride of Christ. Your physical body is holy to God. He wants to dwell in it. And he's not against sex. Some of you are getting such second-rate, lame sex. He cries out today. He says, stop it. It's devastating. It's a sin against your own body, psychologically, physically, and spiritually. And not only that, it's a sin whose roots are in spiritual rebellion and idolatry. See, at the end of the day, there's part of us that says, you know what, no one's going to tell me what to do with, you know, I've got these impulses, I've got these drives. This was me, freshman in college, brand new Christian. And I started reading these verses, and I said, hey, you know what? Hey, God, you know what, you can run the universe, but you're not running this part of my life. When you say to God, I'm doing my thing, my way, let me give you a definition for that. Rebellion. And in the Bible, when you rebel, it's real serious. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He makes the connection between rebellion, sexual sin, and idolatry. And this is a sex-saturated, the Temple of Diana there is prostitute. These people have come to Christ in a decadent sexual world. But among you, he says, there mustn't be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. And the word is sexual greed, lustfulness. Because these things are improper for God's holy people. And he goes from their behavior to even their speech. Nor should there be any obscenities or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, rather the giving of thanks. For of this you can be sure. Listen to how serious this gets. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, I want you to hear very carefully what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. This gets really, really serious. When your sexual practice in your mind, out of your lips, with your body, is opposed to what God says, at the end of the day, what he wants you to understand is you're worshiping you. It's using people, viewing things. You are the center, and you are dominated by lust, seeking for, in the words of G.K. Chesterton, every man who walks into a brothel is taking a first step toward God. It is a false intimacy. It's a searching for, but it is what? It's worshiping yourself. And it's spiritual rebellion. It's rejecting God. Because spirituality and sexuality are so closely linked. Then notice what he says. No immoral, impure, greedy person. He's talking about habitually. Doesn't mean you don't slip. Doesn't mean you have a problem. But if this is the practice ongoing of your life, then he says there's basically, the rest of Scripture would say there's two options. Number one is that you are a genuine, born-again believer of Jesus, and over time you've compromised, and you are trapped in sexuality, and you need to repent as fast as you can. But he says the other is that maybe you've prayed a prayer, raised a hand, intellectually agree, oh, I believe in Jesus intellectually, I believe he died, rose from the dead, and I prayed a prayer once, I actually come to church. But when the Holy Spirit comes inside of your mortal body, it creates a desire for holiness. And if habitually your sexual sin demonstrates no desire for holiness or for God's word or to move the direction he has told you, then he says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because Jesus said a tree will be known by its fruit. And if the fruit of your life is progressive, habitual, sexual immorality, then you need to really ask yourself, does the Holy Spirit live in me? And that's what Paul's saying. The final myth is one where I'm imagining some of you are right now. The final myth is in the heart of maybe some that like, you know what? I'm not sure I should have come today. I've been logging on for years. I'm involved in an affair right now. I'm so deep in sexual sin. I remember playing basketball one summer with a guy from USC, great athlete, played ball for USC. This was 30 years ago. One of the good-looking surfer type guy. And I remember one night as we were after a game, I said, tell me, how'd you come to Christ? He said, you know, and he looked like some guy that should be on a poster. He said, I didn't have sex every day. I had sex multiple times a day with as many women as possible in high school and throughout college. And I remember when I got where I got so numb, I had sex and I didn't feel anything. And all I knew is I was definitely afraid because I realized the only thing that could give me the buzz was perversion. And I looked at perversion and it scared me. And he said, I remember crying out to God and said, I'm a prisoner. Will someone please help me? But I didn't think there was any help. And God brought Jesus to my life. And for some of you, you think there's no hope. You think that I'm too far gone. You know, I've been in this. It is, you have no idea where I've been and what I've done. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's the truth. Look at it. Read it with me. Christ died to pay for the penalty of your sin and break its power in your life. While you were yet a sinner, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Before you committed any sins, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. I hope you hear, yes, the standard is clear, the fire in the fireplace, but there is a heavenly Father who loves you, and no one is too far gone. But in order to receive that love and to be cleansed and to be forgiven and to begin to experience the kind of sexuality that God wants, one, you got to be honest. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to those who call upon him, to those who call upon him in truth, in truth. If I'm pretty passionate, I remember those early years of college, I was stuck in lust. And I would have that, oh God, I'm sorry, I know what I did tonight was really terrible, I'm sorry, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. The next day, I'm sorry, 3 days later, I'm sorry. I mean, this went on and on and on, I was trapped. I remember praying, telling God how sorry and how much I really wanted to change, and I heard a strong whisper from the Holy Spirit. Chip, shut up. Literally, shut up. You like what you're doing. It's true. Get honest. If you really want to change, I'll give you the power. But stop playing games. So how about you? Where are you really at right now? This may be one of the most pivotal moments of your life. You may turn a corner and make a decision at a crossroads in this room right now that'll change the course of your life. Are you willing to be honest? The second step is to repent and confess. Repent just means a change of mind. This way I'm living, what I'm doing is not good anymore. I'm changing my mind. And confess means you just agree with God. And the promise is if we agree with God, if we confess our sin, in this case, sexual sin, of thought, word, or deed, he is faithful to forgive us of our sin. But not just forgive, but to cleanse you. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You will have a power in your prayer life. You'll have a power and a confidence with people. It will be a journey. You'll have to renew your mind. You'll probably need to get help. Some of you will need to go to a counselor. Okay. Well, what's the alternative? Living where you're living? And then finally, you need to forsake it. He who conceals his sin will not prosper, Proverbs says. But to the one who makes it known, who forsakes it, the hand of God and the blessing of God. That means if you're having an affair, you don't slide out of it. You tell the person today, we're done. If it's a porn issue, you find another man or another woman and you say, I need help, I'm gonna address it. And you unplug your computer. Whatever you need to do, be as radical as you need to be. That was what Jesus meant when he said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He didn't mean it literally. You can pluck out this eye and lust with that one. He said, be as drastic as you need to be to do whatever God calls you to do. Because your heavenly Father has a desire and a plan to love you and give you what's best. Don't miss out for you, but know that your life is a series of dominoes that impact every person in your world. Your mate, your girlfriend, your kids, your friends. And as you go, so go many of them.
I want to stop right now and ask you to personally evaluate where you at in your sexual life. Even as you hear my voice, are you living with someone? And in the Spirit of God said, this is not a good situation, but you're afraid you'll lose them. Do you have a pornography habit or issue? Do you find yourself fantasizing or having struggles in this area? Are you flirting at work or are you in the midst of an affair? Here's what I can tell you. God loves you. There is hope. He wants to rescue you. You have been bombarded with the lies of sexual satisfaction outside the framework of God's highest and best, which is with a person of the opposite sex to whom you're married. And when people violate God's prescription for sex the way He's set it up, there is pain, there is fallout, there's an emotional devastation that occurs, there's disease that occur. God wants you to know that today is the day for you to get honest, to repent, to own what you're doing, and turn from it. It is ruining your testimony. It is blocking your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's producing guilt and shame. For many of you hearing my voice right now, you know exactly what's right, and you know you need to respond. I'm going to ask you in this moment right now to stop, to tell God that you're sorry, to turn around, to change, to repent, to tell one person that you can really trust, I have a problem with. I want you today to confess it, to name it, to own it, and come before God personally and tell Him that you're sorry. Tell Him you want Him to deliver you. And then you need to find a friend, a pastor, someone mature, someone you can trust, and say, I need help. I've made a decision today to be sexually pure. I need to move out, or I need to break this addiction. God wants to help you, but today's the day. Would you make that commitment? Would you take the next step? Would you experience the freedom and get the very best from God? And Lord, right now I pray for those that are just feeling so torn and pulled inside, they need to understand and believe that you are good and that you are kind and that sex is a great gift and you want them to have great relationships and great sex in the right way, at the right time, with the right person. And so, Lord, I pray you would purify your church, that you would give people courage and boldness to follow you, to obey you, and get the help that they need.
Chip will be right back. But if you've just joined us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, Human Sexuality, The Search for Truth About Sex, is from his series, Culture Shock. In this bold series, Chip addresses fundamental yet controversial cultural issues from a winsome biblical point of view. Parents, help equip your children to know the truth about these important topics, and consider using this series as devotional study with your teens and preteens. Culture Shock is also a popular study for Sunday schools, youth groups, or neighborhood Bible studies. Chip does the teaching and brings the issues to the table in a way that promotes discussion versus debate, light versus heat. The small group study is currently discounted, so take advantage of this opportunity and order your study today. Just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Now, here's Chip with a final word about the resource I just mentioned.
As we close today's program, we've talked today and in the last few days about the most important things that are going to impact the culture, your family, your kids. And I just want to say thank you to a very special group of people that have been very generous and gave us the money to create these small group DVD resources. Gave us the resources to put it on the radio, podcast, and allowed us to create an app. You are enjoying the fruit and tools of people that have been extraordinarily generous so that Christians could live like Christians and make a difference in America. And I just want to pause to say thank you. Thank you very much to each person who's been on the team. And maybe just close by saying, if you'd like to join the team, we could certainly use your help and would appreciate it deeply.
Well, as we wrap up today's broadcast, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge but have never supported us financially, would you consider sending a gift today? You can donate online at livingontheedge.org or by calling us at 1-888-333-6003. Thank you in advance for your partnership with us. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as Chip continues his current series, Culture Shock. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.